todolisthome.com. Welcome, I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is June 4, 2012. This is episode 98 of the To-Do List Home podcast. Grow strawberry plants at home and enjoy a bountiful harvest. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Strawberry Fields Forever by the Beatles, recorded on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from 1967. Watch and listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. Todolisthome.com is your resource for information on preparing for the future and retiring early, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, home and life improvement projects, and reviews of companies, products, and services to make it all happen. We're making a better life, and this is how we do it. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo 73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. Share your to-do list ideas with us. And tell your friends about todolisthome.com. On our to-do list today is grow strawberry plants at home and enjoy a bountiful harvest. Since it is spring, early summer in Northern Virginia, a lot of the episodes have been of the permaculture slash gardening flavor, but I assure you that it is all for making a better life. In this kind of weather, I want to be outside as much as possible. During the days Monday to Friday, I am busy paving the road for the progress of science and not outdoors until the evening. And when I am outdoors and with nature, I learn more about myself and the world that I can normally learn anywhere else, and I wish to share the experiences with you. I began growing Cavendish strawberry plants in 2010, and I highly recommend that you grow strawberries too. I also recommend that you don't underestimate the productivity of this wonderful fruit. I initially grew 22 strawberry plants in a pyramid-shaped planter that I built in early 2010. The space allotted for the strawberry plants in this planter was limited, and I didn't know any better. But that's what we do here at todolisthome.com. We work on projects and sometimes make mistakes, but it is from those mistakes that learning and improving upon our techniques occurs. I grew three other strawberry plants in the corner of a 4-foot-squared raised bed garden, and that turned out to be about as productive as at least 1/3, or about 7, of the strawberry plants in the planter. The planter is really cool looking, and I enjoyed building it, although it was hard as hell to build. It was made with all beveled cuts that I had to cut by hand. The plants that I put in the pyramid-shaped planter grew nicely during 2010, and for strawberries, the flowers must be picked before fully blossoming in order to ensure productivity in the second year. Thus, the first year for strawberries grown from crowns and roots as I grow them is not a year that results in strawberries themselves. However, patience is a virtue when it comes to strawberries because the second year productivity is worth the wait. Last year we were able to pick strawberries for about 10 days from these initial 25 plants, and we thought it was a big deal. Although we were only able to harvest a few strawberries each day, to us it was really cool. Little did we know what was going to be in store for this year. In 2011, I wanted to double the number of strawberry plants from 12 to 55, and I was perusing the web for ideas on a planter that was larger and more imaginative than the pyramid planter. I had no idea of what to do until I reflected on the growth pattern of the strawberry plants and how they send out runners after flowering or fruiting. The idea of getting more fruit was decided, but the dilemma I faced was where to put them, especially the extra strawberry plants. I perused the net over and over for images of strawberry planters and came across quite a few interesting ones. based on the space and location of the planter, which would where and where it would be located, I needed something a bit more original in concept, and after fooling around with some different shapes and a few PowerPoint slides, I hit upon the idea of creating a triangular-shaped planter and a multi-tiered one at that. I expanded on the triangular shape by making it a three-tiered triangle that would allow the spread of runners during the second year. Additionally, it looked really freaking cool, and I thought it would be a great addition to a patch of grass that never grew even after a couple of years of much coaxing by me. This past fall, I placed some onion and garlic bulbs in the planter to aid in keeping pesky squirrels, rodents, and rabbits away. And what it took to put this together and place it in the yard was, one, my initial design. And from the design and PowerPoint and measuring the space in the yard where the planter would go, I was able to determine that a right triangle with equal sides of 5 feet and a hypotenuse of 7.4 feet would be the right size. I further determined the size for the inner two triangular beds and from there calculated how much wood would be required for the project. And once a more detailed plan, which is attached in today's show notes, emerged, I added support posts to the upper two tiers and connected the back of the planter tiers with fasteners. This planter is 12.5 square feet in area and over 50 cubic feet in soil, wood, and homegrown compost with lots of worms. All very suitable for growing the 25 strawberry plants that my children and I placed in there in May of 2011, again, along with a number of greens and flowers at the time. Like the strawberry plants from 2010s, we had to pluck the flowers from the plants last year, and boy, did it pay off this year. Strawberry season began on May 8 for us this year, and it lasted until June 1. The early and long harvest season may have been the result of the mild winter we had this past winter, and we loved every minute of it. I was surprised and slightly concerned when I saw flowers on the strawberry plants in mid-April, but I leave it to nature to know what to do. All I can do is prepare based on my observations, and my observations were all about a bountiful harvest, which it turned out to be. As the strawberries were forming and turning green, I was concerned that birds or other animal life would beat us to the harvest, and so we netted the pyramid and triangular bed. The harvesting started slowly with about 10 berries a day at first and then grew upwards to a peak of over 50 per day on May 26. So right over that long Memorial Day weekend, a 3 or 4 day period, we were picking over 50 berries over that long weekend period. Really wonderful. And then it tapered off steeply until June 1st, which was when the last two berries were picked. The harvest production graph against the 3 week period is exponential, and then it drops more steeply than it rose. Regardless, by the end of the first week, my wife was busy re-educating herself about how to can strawberry jam. I had strawberries every day for my morning fruit shakes. I had strawberries for my coworkers, and my family delivered several small packages of strawberries to some of our neighbors. And yet, we still had strawberries to make jam with. And awesome jam it is. My wife ended up making 5 16-ounce jars of jam. The best thing about this harvest season was that my father was here for a week-long visit, and he got to see us pick strawberries every day and enjoy them with us. My wife even made a jar of jam for him to take home and enjoy. You can view the results of our harvests in the pictures located in the slideshow at the right side of todolisthome.com and through the link in today's show notes, again at todolisthome.com. The challenge with this picking season was not what to do with all the strawberries, but rather how to deal with the numerous slugs that were trying to enjoy our bounty ahead of us. My wife and children were excellent strawberry pickers, but they had to resort to picking them sometimes slightly unripe in order to prevent the slugs from getting to them. The slugs are slimy, snail-like insects that have a menacing appetite and thrive in damp conditions, which our spring has gladly provided for them. One of my philosophies for dealing with pests like slugs is to overplant beyond the needs of my family. As a general rule of thumb, I plan for a 30% loss of production for whatever it is I grow. Although that high rate of loss is very rare, in the cases of strawberries and slugs, it was actually about 10% loss due to slugs, which was okay with me, but unacceptable to my family. They loved the strawberries, they wanted them all, and they wanted them to be perfect. Usually, all the picking was done before I'd get home from work, but I would do it on the weekends and never noticed a big problem until we were at the height of the harvest. My first line of defense was to place some diatomaceous earth. This stuff is not earth, it is the fossilized remains of microscopic shells created by one-celled plants called diatoms. I placed some of this diatomaceous earth, or DE, in a used baby powder dispenser and sprinkled it around the plants as carefully as possible. This stuff is wonderful because although you cannot see with the naked eye, each particle is actually quite sharp and jagged and pierces the skins of creatures like slugs, which then leads to their dehydration and death. However, if it rains or the ground is moist, then the effects of diatomaceous earth are diminished. For short-term, effective control, it is fabulous stuff. Even more so, it stays dry, but plants need watered, so the usefulness of DE is always short-term. I look at it like artillery. Hard, fast, and effective, but can lead to collateral damage and maybe not have lasting effects after all. After the first day of observing the effects of DE on the slugs, I was satisfied, but knew they'd be back, and sure enough, they kept coming out, especially at night. Then I moved to my favorite stuff, neem oil mixed with just a drop of dish soap. Neem oil has many complex active ingredients. Rather than being simple poisons, those ingredients are similar to the hormones that insects produce. Neem oil is organic and is produced from the neem plant in India. Insects take up the neem oil ingredients just like natural hormones. Neem enters the system and blocks the real hormones from working properly. Insects forget to eat, forget to mate, or they stop laying eggs. Some forget they can fly. If eggs are produced, they don't hatch or the larvae don't molt. What a wonderful end for slugs. There is debate if neem oil actually does work on garden slugs, but I think I can vouch for its effectiveness. It isn't easy, it takes time. Unlike diatomaceous earth, neem oil is slow to act on the pests that ingest it because it is a hormone inhibitor rather than a poison, so you don't kill a lot of slugs quickly and see them dead on the ground, but rather you end their reproductive cycle, and it takes maybe a week or longer. But it has longer-lasting effects. Moreover, neem oil is safe for beneficial insects such as butterflies and my beloved honeybees as long as care is taken not to use it near their habitats or food sources. I observe and interact in moderation, and I really try to avoid neem oil altogether. Now that strawberry season has ended, it is time to put compost into the beds and make some new space for the runners that are already trying to sink themselves into the nearby grass. The pyramid planter, I think, has run its course. The plants are working their way down from the top and out to the end of the pyramid planter, and I'm slowly turning that into an herb planter. So where I'll end up putting more strawberries for next year, I don't know yet. I'll have a lot of time to think about that, and if I do order more plants for next year, I'll have to come up with some ideas on where I'm going to put them and maybe even come up with a better planter idea than a triangular planter, although that would be hard to top. That triangular planter was really a strawberry production center this year. I don't know what I'll be able to do to host all of the numerous runners from the strawberry planter, but I'll try to make it possible for a similar bountiful harvest next year. In the meantime, raspberry season just started and we are certainly enjoying that, and this harvest also seems like it will be plentiful indeed. Stay tuned. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.